Praise God that we're forgiven. Praise God that yesterday's gone. We shouldn't live in the past. There are things in the past that has helped us and guided us and brought us to where we are today, but living in the past will never get us where we need to be. We need to live in one place and one place only, the present. And we need to learn how to be all present in one place. And that's part of the reason that I think we should spend more time in prayer, because it helps us to become more present to God and know that God is right there. And when we become more present, we'll be able to hear better. Listen to these words that Jesus shares from Mark chapter 7. I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. Then I'm going to skip down to 14 and 15 and then skip down to verse 21 through 23. It all fits together. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial cleaning, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash, and they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and the teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with defiled hands?" Jesus replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules.'" You have to let go of the commands of God that you are holding on, or you have to let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the human traditions. And in verse 14, again, Jesus called the crowds to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them." Verse 21. "For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these things come from inside and defile a person." We have lots of traditions and lots of things that we do, and sometimes we're not sure why we do them. Deanne recently went to visit with her parents last weekend and brought home her grandmother's silverware, along with her mother's silverware. So now we have three sets of silverware that traditionally gets stored in the closet and you bring out for special occasions. I have become aware of that there are very few special occasions that the silverware comes out. But yesterday she took it out because she got word from somebody else they use theirs on the weekend. So last night was a special dinner with our china and the silverware from her grandmother. Now her grandmother's last name was Wilhelm. The silverware is sitting on the table and I'm sitting there waiting for her to bring the plates of food. And I look down and on the silverware it's got an M engraved on it. And I said, "Who's the M?" And she said, "No, it's a W. It's upside down." And I was like, "Why is it upside down?" So last night I did some research to find out about engraving on silverware. Most engraving is upside down from where you sit looking at it. most engraving on all silverware is upside down. But I did find out why people engraved the silverware. It was engraved so that you wouldn't steal it when you came as a guest. Okay? If I just had plain silverware, then you could take it home with you, as one of my grandfathers did one time when we were meeting at the other grandparents. We always used to sit with the plates on our laps, and you would tuck your fork, knife, and spoon into your pocket, and he went home with a spoon. So my grandmother and my other grandfather sorted through the trash looking for that spoon. Because grandma was nothing was leaving anywhere until that spoon was found. And finally, a few hours later, my grandfather called and said, "I'm sorry, I took a spoon home with me in my pocket." You see, we have lots of traditions. The one that always kind of gets me, that I heard this story, and I'm sure at some point in time it was true. Young couple had just gotten married, and she cut the hawk end off of a ham. Set it aside. So her husband said, "Why did you do that?" And she said, "I don't know. My mother always did that." So the next time they went to see their mother, they asked their mother, "Why do you cut the hawk end off?" And she said, "I don't know. That's what my mother always did." And so finally they go to see grandma, and they ask grandma, "Why do you cut the hock end off of a ham?" She said, "Because I never had a pot big enough for the whole ham." But there's a tradition that got passed down that nobody knew why. Now, I know why. Being a good Southern boy, you cut the hock end off so you can throw it in the beans or the green beans or somewhere or in your greens in order to bring some. So I fully understand that. But in this case, a tradition got handed down with nobody knowing. Let me tell you about the Pharisees. The Pharisees were more concerned about tradition than spiritual depth. You see, they had all of these traditions that had been passed down through the ages, and they were more concerned about those traditions and accomplishing those traditions and doing those traditions. Now, why did they have the traditions, though? They had the traditions because it was very important to them that God's commandments not be broken. So here's what they did. They set up some traditions around God's commandments, like a fence. They designed a fence of regulations to keep people from stepping wrong. So that if I don't if I follow these traditions, it'll keep me from not following God's commandment, okay? It'll make me follow God's commandments by making sure that I keep these traditions. So one of their traditions, which it just makes sense to us nowadays, you wash your hands before you eat. But I want you to go back to their world. They knew nothing about germs. They had no idea where sicknesses came from. They didn't understand that. They didn't have a concept of little animals crawling around and infecting us and getting us sick. They talked about washing your hands ceremonially. Did you notice that it said that in this passage? The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing. Now, when I found out some more about this ceremonial washing, this ceremonial washing was that you would use about a quarter of a cup to wash your hands. That was it. Now, I don't know about you, but that's probably not enough water to really wash your hands from what we know today about germs and viruses and bacteria, okay? That's probably not enough. When I went to Kenya, that's about all that happened before dinner time, is one of the youngest people in the house would bring a basin and a pitcher, and you would rub your hands like this, and they would pour water over it, and you would wipe your hands off on the towel, and now they're clean. Okay, that's all they did. There was no soap. There was nothing else. That's what you did. It was a ceremonial cleaning. So what the Pharisees had done is they'd set up this fence of all kinds of different regulations. One of the silliest ones is, you know, you're not supposed to work on the Sabbath day. So they sat down and figured out what would work constitute on the Sabbath day. What would be work? And one of the things that they decided was that if you carried a needle in your pocket and you walked a certain distance, that was work, whether you knew the needle was there or not. Okay? A fence set up outside of God's commandments to try to keep people from breaking God's commandments. But what happened for the Pharisees is these traditions became more important than worrying about God's word. And just so that you will know, there is nowhere in all of Scripture that says wash your hands before you eat. There is nowhere. And there is not the verse that some of you are going to tell me that you think you know from the Bible, cleanliness is next to godliness. That verse is not in the Bible. That's a made-up statement from somebody else. So there's nothing in there. There is something in Scriptures about priests washing their hands before they do the offerings. But there's nothing about washing your hands before you eat. So you're more than allowed by God's law to go stick your hands in all the dirt you want to stick it in and go home and eat lunch today. Okay? We know differently in our world because now we know about germs. My grandfather always used to, because they have pictures of me crawling in the dirt as probably about a 2 or a 3 year old with dirt all over my face and all over my hands and my mouth wet from where I was eating the dirt. And my grandfather's opinion was everybody has to eat a peck of dirt before you die. Not going to harm the kid. Okay? You see, what the Pharisees were concerned about in their traditions, they were concerned about their exteriors, what it looked like to other people, how they presented themselves to other people. That's what they were concerned about, was the exteriors. Our exteriors can match our cultural standards while our interior lives remain a mess. Our exteriors can match the standards of our culture. We can dress the way that people say is appropriate to dress. We can do the things that are appropriate to do. But that makes no guarantee that our inner life is clean and straight. Okay? As I shared with people on Wednesday night, the Greek word hypocrito brings us what English word? Hypocrite. Do you know what that word can also be translated into? Who was there on Wednesday night and remembers? Actor. That is the Greek word for actor in a play. Because they wear a mask. Okay? They wear a mask. They're presenting something they're not. That's what an actor is. So feel free to go to Hollywood and call them all a bunch of hypocrites. Because that's what they are in the purest sense of the word. They're hypocrites. They're acting one way, but they're really another way. And you see, that's what we do in our society. We act and respond the way we expect people to accept us, and we do what makes us look the same. Okay? Even the younger folks who are stepping out in rebellion and dressing differently, did you ever notice that all of them all dress the same? They say, I'm doing it because I'm different. No, you're not. You're the same as everybody else your age. You're not being different. But does it change the inside? You cannot change the inside of a person by changing the outside of a person. We can look like what culture wants us to look like. We can act like what culture wants us to act like. But that doesn't mean the inside of the cup is clean. There's another scripture, I believe it's in Luke, where Jesus is talking to him about the same thing. And he tells the Pharisees, you love to clean the outside of the cup, but you never clean the inside. I know some of you have a favorite coffee cup that you never clean the inside of it. Not me. I clean the inside of it. I know people, I worked with a guy for a number of years that he had this ugly, ugly, ugly green mug. And the inside of it was just as dark black as could be. And that's the way he wanted it, from drinking coffee. So we took it one day and we cleaned it for him. He got so mad because now he had to reseason his cup. The coffee didn't taste right because we had cleaned his cup. But you see, there's so many people in our world that clean the outside thinking that will change the inside. And it doesn't. And the Pharisees were one. So many of their traditions had to do with cleaning the outside, looking nice to society, doing the right things, showing up at the right places, saying the right things. Jesus says our wrong actions and desires come from within, not from outside influences. Jesus states this very clearly. Wrong actions and wrong desires come from what's already inside of us. Now, you can say as much as you want, because that person did that, I acted that way. Well, if it wasn't already within you, you wouldn't have, Jesus says. If the desire to act that way wasn't already within you, it would not have happened. You see, when people do something against you, you don't have to let that influence you. You don't have to. Our bad reactions are something that's already there, is what Jesus says. Listen to what he says. I'm going to read it for you again, verses 21 through 23. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person. So the Pharisees wanted to know, Jesus, why don't your disciples wash their hands? And he says, it's not what goes in a man that defiles them. It's what comes out. And he says in other scriptures, he says, what goes in a man passes through him into the sewer system, is what Jesus says. It's what comes out. When you have a reaction that is unchristian to what somebody else has done, it's coming out of you. It's not caused by them. It's coming out of you. So what's the most important thing for us to do? Is it to clean the outside up? I'll grant you that sometimes that's a nice thing to do, to clean the outside up. Amen. Thank you, brother. But it's the inside that needs to be cleaned for every person. There's not a person in here that doesn't have some kind of wrong or bad desire, want, or thought within them. It's there. That's what Jesus says. It's already there. So when you react with anger, it was already here. You let the seed be planted somewhere along the line. It's already here. When you lash out at somebody, it was something that happened before they did something to you. So what is spiritual growth? Spiritual growth and depth requires the transformation of our wills and desires. This is where we need to open up our hearts and we need to examine what's there. And we need to let God show us what's not right and let God fix it. Not cover it over and say, if I bury this deep enough, it'll never come out. Tell me the truth. If you take a can of pop and shake it, and keep shaking it, and keep shaking it, what happens when it springs a leak? You had a bad day. I did that to Jerry one day. He thought. I found in the office a can of iced tea. And I was coming into his office doing this. I said, Jerry, you want this? He's like, take it out in the hallway. And he had no idea it was a can of iced tea. I could have opened it in front of him, but I wasn't going to. But see, what happens is when you let all that stuff inside you bottle up, fester, and it keeps shaking and it keeps growing. And if you don't let God in for spiritual growth, for allowing that to be fixed, what's going to happen? At some point in time, it's going to come busting out of you. And you might even go, where did that come from? I never act like that. It's because you allowed something in there that you weren't allowing God to fix. That you weren't allowing God to touch. You were not experiencing spiritual growth because instead you're having the growth of this irritation within you. And you're continuing to shake it, hoping that it'll never explode. And someday it does. It happens to all of us. Anybody ever gone off the deep end on somebody? Don't all raise your hands at the same time. I'm going to raise both of mine. I've gone off the deep end on people. I haven't liked the way they treated me, and I told them about it in very certain ways that they could completely understand. Where'd that come from? I don't act that way all the time. It comes from not opening my heart and letting God help me. It comes from following cultural traditions and standards and not cleaning up the inside. And one of the things that I think is most necessary for cleaning up the inside is at least have one or two other people that you can talk to it about. Talk to them about it. That's one of the things that Alcoholic Anonymous found was very, very helpful. People needed to talk about what's inside their heart and get it out. And here's some good common sense help on how to change that, how to improve that, how to make sure that doesn't grow in your heart anymore. But we as Christians decide, I got this. I'll never get mad again. I just made a decision. It's not going to happen. How about you guys call me tonight about 8:30 and pretend to be a telemarketer? And you guys take turns doing it. See how long I get before it comes out. And you're going to sit there and tell me that doesn't happen to you? If it doesn't, then you'd have allowed God in to clean something up that needed to be cleaned up. Instead of cleaning the outside in hopes that the inside will be right, why don't we start at the inside first and allow that to form the outside? That's what Jesus is asking. The Pharisees got the whole thing upside down. They're saying if we dress right all the time, show up at the right places and say the right things and do the right things, we will be always right. And they've never done anything to clean up what's inside. I bet I could irritate a Pharisee. How about you? I bet I could find out what's in their heart. I just start knocking down their traditions. I'm not going to wash my hands, and I'm going to eat and watch them go ballistic. Watch mothers go ballistic. Folks, what I'm asking you is, are you willing to allow your interior life to be transformed? Are you willing to do that? Because Jesus says that's what needs to be transformed. How do you help people that are going down the wrong path in life? They've got to change their heart and want to live a different path, right? You don't give them a shower and clean them up and put them in a tie and a suit and now we're all good to go, do we? Well, we've tried that. Doesn't often work, does it? Because the heart still has something in it. Are you willing to open your heart and examine what's there? I know I keep doing it more and more every day, and God keeps showing me more and more. Here's something right here, Tim, you need to clean up. With my help, God says, will you let me? Will you permit me? How about you? Are you still trying to clean the outside up? One of the things I remember from my theology professor who came from Zimbabwe to teach us African theology and give us a deeper understanding of how they see things differently. One day he came to class with some pictures and showed us pictures of what the tribes looked like before the missionaries came and made them Christians. And then he showed us pictures of what they looked like when they became Christians. And they had slacks and white shirts on. Whereas before, they were in their traditional dress or undress, however you want to name that. And he said this to us. He said, I have a question for you. When this man right here, when his pants wear out and he has to go back to traditional dress because he can't get another set of pants, is he still a Christian? Since the missionaries told him, if you're going to be a Christian, that's the way you got to dress. He says, is that man still a Christian when his pants wears out? See, you'll know Christians by their hearts and by the fruits that come from their lives, not by an outward appearance. That's how you know Christians. Are you allowing God to transform your heart? Let's pray. Lord, this is tough because sometimes we find things in our hearts that we don't want to look at, that we don't want to talk about, that we want to continue to cover up because we just think if we bury it deep enough, it'll never come back to bite us. But Lord, the truth is, it probably will. And it will at the most inopportune times. Teach us how to take just small steps in opening our hearts to you so that we might know better and better how to be your people. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Scripture says that as we come to this table to remember what Jesus did for us, that we are supposed to examine ourselves. We are supposed to look deep within our hearts. What's there that needs to be dealt with? And am I in a way that I can approach this table for my best benefit? Am I willing to be honest with myself? Let's pray. Lord, we come before this table that means so much to us, to share a meal together as a symbol for what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. Lord, he was so willing to give up his whole life, not just part, but his whole life that all of us could live. Help us now to look within ourselves and see what is there, to see what we need to deal with, to see what we need to allow you to touch. Lord, cleanse us from the inside out, that as we come to this table, that it will be of the most benefit to us in order to remember what Jesus Christ has done for us. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.